Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program. You are invited to join us if you want. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. We've been talking about the sort of phenomena of social media, where it came from, and where is it going?
I was thinking there's another name for social media that predates the CB radio even.
Really?
Coffee Clutch.
What is that? What is that?
This was the old biddies, the old ladies from like the churches.
Mm-hmm.
They would get together on a Wednesday evening or whatever for a coffee clutch. This is basically an excuse to gossip.
Yeah. Play cards or whatever.
But that, like knitting clubs, the red
all
hats,
that kind of thing,
that's
right,
been
yeah.
happening since mm-hmm. the beginning of time.
Right. All of the, even the male social clubs like think of Fred Flintstone,
the Elks Club,
the Royal VFW. Buffalo, the Water Buffalo,
yeah,
right, all that kind of stuff. This is social media before the internet,
right? Good
right,
point.
You would join these clubs to be social. Some of them
get a dollar beer.
Yeah, some of them actually predate statism intervention, right? So, for example, healthcare prior to states, claiming to have something to do with healthcare,
the Shriners.
They would have these organizations that you could join, and the organization would hire a doctor
mm-hmm.
and pay his salary for a year.
Yeah,
and
mutual aid.
Mutual aid. Mm-hmm. And everybody in that particular club got to call up that doctor, had his number, like he would do house calls, all that stuff. If somebody in that particular organization was sort of a hypochondriac and dominating the doctor, it was mm-hmm. up to the organization itself to deal with it in some way, shape, or form. That could look like charging this one guy more
mm-hmm.
than everybody else. That could look like putting limits on, the time that they were able to spend with a doctor, or perhaps even like telling them they couldn't be in this club and they had to go join another club.
Hypochondriacs club.
That specialized in people with that type of, mm-hmm. Desire for service, right? So it was all a very sort of a free market based thing. And ironically, the reason that that went away was because these doctors petitioned government to make laws that would make it so that these types of organizations couldn't exist because they wanted to get paid more.
Well, the good news is some of that's come back in recent years. We have what's called direct primary care now.
And I love these ideas.
Very similar. Let's go to Jack. He's on the line in Ocean Shores, Washington. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about social media.
Sure.
Yeah, I haven't been calling as much because I got rid of my Twitter.
Okay.
I also got off of, I was on Truth Social. It's a lot of advertisements and repetitive things on Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept my Facebook because there's too many old people with family on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to you guys. But, it gets so repetitive when you see people, storming a Rite Aid, stealing everything, or someone getting beat up for no reason or punched. And it's such negative energy on your brain and your spirit. And so I've been off for about a month. That's why I haven't called as much. I don't see this stuff as often.
So you're not as incensed and you don't have anything to talk about now? Is that why you haven't called in?
I feel better just not seeing.
Yeah, sure.
That's great.
Do you, just to be clear, do you listen to us through like one of our social media broadcasts? I know that we our broadcasts still show up on like
the website.
Okay.
I go right to Free Talk Live, so I get all the Porcupine commercials, which I like. Mark Ward goes in.
Mark Ward.
Yeah. So I listen there, and
Wait, Jack, are you saying you only call in when you have something to say?
Yeah, just kind of when you talk.
It's almost like that's what we're here for.
Right?
Nikki only talks when she has something to say.
Good. I'm glad, Jack, that you've disconnected from social media. It is definitely something. I remember when I quit Facebook 5 years ago now, I think, at this point. that immediately I noticed the next day I had more time. I had things I could get done in the day. And
well,
it was
you
great.
Don't realize how much of a time suck it is, because even for me, I'll like compulsively, and I don't do it as much anymore, but for a while I would compulsively just go to the internet browser on my phone, because I don't have the Facebook app, but I would always, once I deleted it and I signed out, I noticed myself going to it, and then I would look at the, you know, login screen.
Oh, I'm not supposed to be here.
That is what made me realize, and I didn't even know I was doing it.
Yes, it was, you were unconscious.
But I would do it several times a day, and I noticed that first day, I did it maybe 10, 15 times.
Wow.
There's a name for this phenomenon, too. It's the same phenomenon like when you keep your phone in your pocket, and then you leave the house without your phone, but yet you feel the phone ring in your pocket.
Oh,
even
wow.
It's not
ghost
there.
Phone.
Whatever that phenomenon is, that's the same phenomenon that you're talking about, where you just sort of unconsciously reach for the thing, pull up the browser or the app, and you're like, oh, wait. Right, you're right. When you log out of the browser specifically, when you log out or you clear your cookies, you auto-logged out, it forces you to re-log in with whatever your username and password happens to be. And so it makes you think for a minute, because if you just use the app on like an Android phone and you don't log out, it saves the cookie.
Sure.
Yeah,
and so,
so
then
stay
the next time
in,
you launch the browser, you're automatically logged in.
Dopamine
there
hit.
It is.
Boom.
And it's also been tracking every other thing you've browsed since the last time you launched that page, so that's how it knows how to direct marketing towards you. Jack?
You guys have Apple. Apple sends you like a weekly update.
Yep.
I went from like 12 hours or something. I couldn't believe it, because I watch Prime Video when I sleep on my tablet. But down like 2.5 hours, and I swear I was going to get an Apple notification. Are you still alive?
It's like the Netflix. Are you still watching?
Congrats, Jack. Thanks for the call tonight, man. Appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. So he's talking about Twitter being sort of the first example of what he would call social media, as opposed to just a social network website, allowing anybody to post whatever they wanted to be seen instantly by anyone else. And furthermore, unlike posts on blogs, by the way, from MSN, or images on Flickr or videos on YouTube, tweets were short and low effort, making it easy to post many of them a week or even a day. In fact, they say that if you want to be a successful tweeter, you have to tweet like 10 to 15 times a day. It's like, I just don't have that much to say.
Yeah,
you know?
Not much time.
I'm like maybe once every few days or something like that.
Well, I think a lot of the people who are maybe tweeting that much aren't saying anything of substance. You know, are they making 15 heavy hitting posts?
Well, I think the idea is you do 15 posts a day, and maybe one of them will hit heavy, right? Like maybe you'll get a share.
But it's just enough to kind of build some commotion.
What I call filler, like you know, on the Twitter. Oh, I stubbed my toe. Like really, you needed to tweet
sick.
That? You know, like I'm at a red light right now. Like I did not need to know that, nor did any of your followers.
He says the notion of a global town square, as Elon Musk has put it, emerges from all of these factors. On Twitter, you can instantly learn about a tsunami in Tohoku or an omakase in Topeka. This is also why journalists became so dependent on Twitter. It's a constant stream of sources, events, and reactions, a reporting automat, not to mention an outbound vector for media tastemakers to make tastes.
Automat, wow.
And I will give...
Do you know what an automat is?
Yeah, it's an old way of like robotically selling food to people, right?
Basically a sandwich vending machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things aren't really around anymore.
There's a few of them still. There's one actually still, I think, in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got a chef behind it, right? Like putting sandwiches
in
it? No?
No, like some of them, like they'll just, like you go into the convenience store and you see like the sandwich cut into the triangle and it's got the package.
Right.
They'll just load those up and then you got to hit the button to spin the thing around to select the flavor of sandwich you want. And then you put your money in and
I've never been to one of these places. That's cool.
Yeah. But the original ones had, it was like a diner kitchen behind it with the rotating vending machine in front of it. So you didn't have to interact with like a waiter, a waitress, or a cook, or leave a tip.
Yeah, I mean, I will give credit to Twitter. When I left Facebook, I did try out Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd already had the account, but I didn't really, like, use it or anything. And so I do think that Twitter's better as far as, they do have an algorithm, but I feel like I do see what people post on Twitter. I feel like it's, I generally don't get the feeling I'm having people hid from me specifically.
Yeah.
And I do see a lot more like useful show prep. It used to be my excuse for staying on Facebook was,
right.
Well, every now and then I'll find something that's useful for the show.
Facebook, like I used to say, like I used to scroll Facebook specifically for show prep, and over the last year or so, it is totally useless.
It's
for
a
show
wasteland.
Prep.
It was that totally it was that useless. Way 5 years ago when I left.
Well,
it was getting
I was
worse
still
and
getting
worse.
Value out of it, yeah. But in the last year or
it was,
so, it's gone.
I considered it like a needle in a haystack when I left. Finally left Facebook. It was just a huge waste of time. Mostly just people fighting with one another. There's more coming up here. You can join us. The end of social media? Is that happening?
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
And Nikki.
And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. You can join our chat server. We mentioned it earlier as the sort of the newer version of Internet Relay Chat. It's called Matrix, and it is similarly, it is federated. You can connect to other Matrix servers remotely through our server and vice versa. Although I will say this, on our server we do have some server exclusive channels, meaning that we don't have those channels federated. So if you want to join, say, the On Air Now channel, you do have to be a member of our server. But most of the channels, I think, are open to anybody from the outside. But check it out over at chat.freetalklive.com. You can get instructions there as to how to find our server and get on, you know, download the right software that you need and jump through the hoops. It's a bit of a setup. You know, it's going to take you a few minutes to download the app and get connected and create an account. But once you're good and once you're connected, it's super easy. You're always there, basically. So check it out at chat.freetalklive.com. We've been looking into the question of, is social media ending, is the current format of it coming to a close? And that's kind of what this guy over at MSN is working up to. His name is Ian Bogost, and he has been writing kind of about the history of social media versus, say, social networking, and just kind of started talking about Twitter as the first place that was, in his opinion, the first social media place wherein that you can post content and have that content seen by some unlimited, potentially, number of people, not just your closest friends. And so he says that when we look back at this moment, social media had already arrived in spirit, if not by name. RSS for readers, that's podcasts, offered a feed of blog posts to catch up on, complete with unread counts. MySpace fused music and chatter. YouTube did it with video. In 2005, at an industry conference, I remember overhearing an attendee say, "I'm so behind on my Flickr." What does that even mean? I recall wondering. But now the answer is obvious. Creating, consuming content for any reason or no reason, social media was overtaking social networking. Instagram, launched in 2010, might have built the bridge between the social network era and the age of social media. It relied on the connections among users as a mechanism to distribute content as a primary activity. But soon enough, all social networks became social media first and foremost. When groups, pages, and the news feed launched, Facebook began encouraging users to share content published by others in order to increase engagement on the service rather than to provide updates to friends. LinkedIn launched a program to publish content across the platform too. Twitter, already principally a publishing platform, added a dedicated retweet feature, making it far easier to spread content virally across user networks. Goes to show, I had no idea Twitter didn't have the retweet originally.
Oh,
it's apparently a newer thing.
Right, yeah, that's sure.
Other services arrived or evolved in this vein, among them Reddit, Snapchat, and WhatsApp, all far more popular than Twitter. Social networks, once latent routes for possible contact, became superhighways of constant content.
Isn't Reddit still a forum, technically?
You could look at it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, it behaves that way.
It's a rudimentary kind of forum, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a very large forum, I guess you could say, but there's no sub-forums underneath. Once you join a Reddit, you're in that Reddit, and there's no, like,
subtopics. Well, I mean, it's all sub-forums of Reddit, right? It's Reddit /r/ whatever.
Unfortunately, it's dominated by the woke left and, you know, really also a very intolerant place to be. In their latest phase, the social networking aspects have been pushed deep into the background. Although you can connect to the app or connect the app to your contacts and follow specific users on TikTok, you're more likely to simply plug into a continuous flow of video content that is oozed to the surface via algorithm. And this goes back to what you were saying earlier, Nikki, about, I think the term was the TikTok black hole.
Yeah.
Where you know people who will literally just blow hours of their lives away.
It's a total time suck.
And not realize. And just watching videos.
And you know what? My big issue with TikTok is being in the same room as someone that's scrolling on TikTok is the most annoying thing ever. Because it's all the stupid songs and the sound effects, and I'm just like watching someone from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering the psychology behind it of how somebody can sit there and watch them and not be driven crazy.
And how many times do they watch the same video over again? Because don't they loop?
Sometimes, yeah.
They loop?
Yeah, they do loop. So sometimes people will watch them a few times. And
that drives me nuts.
It's just the looping. Over and over again, yeah.
I just wonder, like, you know, when you sit inside of a, I don't know, a bar, right, or some social gathering, right, if you go to like a, I don't know, a church youth group or something like that, and everybody's on their phones, right?
Yeah.
I just wonder how long it's going to be before, in order for that particular group to notice something happening around them where it happens on their phone.
Bar's on fire.
Yeah, where it happens on their phone before they realize, right? Like if you're, before social media, if you were in a bar and a fire started, some guy would be like, hey guys, there's a fire in the kitchen. Everybody would look, see the fire, and head for the exits, right?
Yeah.
I think that there's going to come a time, it may be here already, where people are sitting in a bar and instead of noticing or somebody yelling, they're going to get a thing on their phone. Bing, hey, the bar you're in is on fire. Like, oh, crap, I better go.
The connection to a primary as a primary purpose has declined. Think of the change like this. In the social networking era, the connections were essential, driving both content creation and consumption. But the social media era seeks the thinnest, most soluble connections possible, just enough to allow the content to flow. Social networks' evolution into social media brought both opportunity and calamity. Facebook and all of the rest enjoyed a massive rise in engagement, and the associated data-driven advertising profits the attention-driven content economy created. The same phenomenon also created the influencer economy, in which individual social media users became valuable as channels for distributing marketing messages or product sponsorships by means of their posts' real or imagined reach.
What would be great, in my opinion, is if these, the same method that finds somebody known today as a social media influencer was used to find, like, a social arbiter. Right. So in the absence of state. So like the Irish, when they had a basically stateless society for, I don't know, 1,000 to 3,000 years, depending on how you do the history on it. If there was a dispute amongst a community or in between two different communities, they would go and find sort of like a respected, smart elder within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You could call him an influencer. They called them Tuatha,
right?
And so they would get together. Maybe the other community had one, and so the two Tuathas would get together and be like, hey, there's a dispute about property, or there's a dispute about, you know, a deal that you made, an agreement or whatever, and they would try and find a way to both bring justice if somebody was wronged or make the situation right in the eyes of the people who were involved. And that was sort of how disputes were handled. And it would be great if something like that could happen via social media, where instead of influencers being glorified marketers, they could be, you know, sort of philosophers, arbiters, right? People who help you solve problems in life, respected people that communities sort of looked up to for, you know, guidance in certain situations.
Instead, you've got Kim Kardashian pimping an Ethereum token called Ethereum Max, which she's, by the way, been fined now by the SEC for that. But yeah, and then another question about these influencers is, are they as influential as they would like you to believe?
No.
Good question.
And that's what I've heard, is that, you know, if you advertise something with an influencer, you don't get the kind of return that you would think you would get, because a million so-called followers isn't as, like, useful as you would think that it is. There's more coming up here.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marussa reporting. An AARP poll released Tuesday found that Republican Herschel Walker and Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat from Georgia, are within the margin of error in Georgia's U.S. Senate runoff race, which will take place on December the 6th. Walker got 47% support, while Warnock had 51. The parents of Brian Laundrie will have to answer a range of questions in a civil lawsuit regarding his former fiancé, Gabby Petito. A Florida judge denied a motion that would have limited the scope of questioning in connection to the events leading up to Petito's death. Petito's parents are accusing the Laundries of knowing that their son killed his fiancé during a cross-country trip last year before he took his own life. The promoter of Taylor Swift's upcoming tour says it had no choice but to use Ticketmaster. A majority of venues on the tour have exclusive deals with the ticket vendor, which meant they didn't have a choice. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. The phones are open. And you can join us here in a world. In a time, in a place, on a station, in a social media world, and that's what we're talking about. Throughout the show tonight, it's been the overarching discussion on the changes in the world of social media.
At some point, one of the bands that I was in, sort of between the MySpace and Facebook era, whenever everybody had mass exodus, we rebranded our MySpace and our Facebook with the South Park butt faces.
Okay.
If you remember the South Park episode where they just replaced everybody's face with a butt.
Sounds like something they would do.
And we declared it our anti-social media network.
Oh, that's nice. Great.
Yeah, I've got an anti-terms of service on the social media site for Free Talk Live.
It's like the BIPCOT license, right? The old kind Michael of. Bean thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so check it out at social.freetalklive.com. The article here is from MSN. It's an opinion piece basically arguing that social media is on the decline. And it is from Ian Bogost, as he is talking about the transition from what he calls social networking to social media. And he's now getting into sort of the last decade, looking at the sort of the more recent development of the concept of the influencer. Somebody who has, whether they're, were a star previously, obviously it's easier for somebody like Kanye West to become a social media influencer. He's got sort of a built-in following.
Well, I think typically when they talk about influencers specifically, they're typically people that were not previously famous.
I think you're right.
They're
about
people that.
That
somehow got famous from being like hot on Instagram or something.
Yeah, they dance to music and they're pretty or whatever. And that's what he says here. Ordinary folk can now make money or even a lucrative living, quote unquote, creating content online. The platform sold them that on a promise.
creating official programs and mechanisms to facilitate it. In turn, influencer became an aspirational role, especially for young people for whom Instagram fame seemed more achievable than traditional celebrity or perhaps employment of any kind. And, you know, I got to give these people credit. It's kind of like it reminds me of what happened with this Twitch phenomenon, where sort of the same thing happened, where video game geeks are actually getting paid to play video games now. This was the old dream of ours in the 1990s. Growing up in the 90s and the 80s was like, man, can you imagine if we could get paid to play video games? Yeah. It's like, no one ever thought that would be possible. Yeah. And then 20 years later,
I mean,
it's
some
happening.
Of these people are making a lot of money on Twitch and all the other streaming.
This author is kind of interesting. I just looked him up.
Bogost?
Ian Bogost is an American academic and video game designer.
Oh, interesting.
He holds a joint professorship at Washington University as director and professor of the Film and Media Studies program in Arts and Sciences and the McKelvey School of Engineering. He previously held a joint professorship in the School of Literature, Media, and Communication in Interactive Computing in the College of Computing at the Georgia Institute of Technology, where he was the Ivan Allen College of Liberal Arts Distinguished Chair.
So he's qualified to have an opinion about computer things.
Sometimes people write things and you find them interesting and you want to, like, look at, you know, who are they and, like, how did they arrive at these opinions? So
I mean, to the credit of these influencers, you know, whether they, quote-unquote, deserve the attention they've received or not, they've gotten it, right?
Yeah.
You know, some teenage girl or whatever can become a 10 million follower influencer, not quite overnight, but close enough.
Yeah.
And then that person is more popular than a lot of actual celebrities who are in movies and things like that.
Oh, and there's more of, like, a personable aspect to it. And a lot of those, the people who have gotten money off of making YouTube videos, you feel, you know, when people vlog or when they post on their Instagram stories, or it's so much more personable than it is with, you know, like music artists or, you know, actors and stuff.
It's the illusion.
Yeah.
Of it, right?
I mean, you don't really know their life, but based on what they're sharing on social media, it does feel like, oh, wow, like I'm seeing what they're eating for breakfast and them going to the gym and walking their dog. It feels like you're in their life with them, but it's really only bits and pieces of it, of course.
And Marketing 101 now, right, in today's age, will tell you all of those things you just said, that you can't just, like as a musical artist, you can't just make an audio recording and put that out. That's not, you're not going to be successful.
Promote it.
Not going to happen. Not only do you have to promote it, but you also have to do the social media thing where you are including things that at least, you know, if it's not a peek into your everyday life, it at least gives your fans the illusion that it's a peek into your everyday life. Things like walking your dog, having a sandwich, you know, going to a concert, whatever it is. That is a necessary component nowadays of successful social media marketing.
Absolutely. And when you own a business, people like to follow people. People don't like to follow businesses.
That's true.
So, you know, an important technique that I've learned through marketing, through social media, is you have to present yourself as the person behind the business, where sometimes people, it could be more successful in certain industries to drop your business name and flaunt your real name more and kind of have the business name on the back burner.
Think about what Wendy's did with Dave Thomas.
Right.
So he became the face. Even though Wendy's is a girl as an icon, her dad or whatever, the manager, Dave Thomas, became the public face of Wendy's, and people kind of, quote-unquote, got to know him over the years. He was this friendly character. So they say here, the ensuing disaster was multi-part. For one, social media operators discovered that the more emotionally charged the content, the better it spread across the networks. Polarizing, offensive, or just plain fraudulent information was optimized for distribution. By the time the platforms realized and the public revolted, it was too late to turn off these feedback loops. Obsession fueled the flames. Compulsion had always plagued computer-facilitated social networking. It was the original sin. Rounding up friends or business contacts into a pen in your online profile for possible future use was never a healthy way to understand social relationships. It was just as common to obsess over having 500 plus connections on LinkedIn in 2003 as it is to covet Instagram followers today. But when social networking evolved into social media, user expectations escalated, driven by venture capitalist expectations and then Wall Street's demands, and tech companies, Google and Facebook and all the rest became addictive to massive scale. As the values associated with scale, reaching a lot of people easily and cheaply, and reaping the benefits became appealing to everyone, a journalist earning reputational capital on Twitter, a 20-something seeking sponsorship on Instagram, a dissident spreading the word of their cause on YouTube, an insurrectionist sowing rebellion on Facebook, an autopornographer selling sex or its image on OnlyFans, a self-styled guru hawking advice on LinkedIn. Social media showed that everyone has the potential to reach a massive audience at low cost and high gain, and that potential gave many people the impression that they deserve such an audience. The flip side of that coin also shines on social media. Everyone believes that anyone to whom they have access owes them an audience. A writer who posted a take, a celebrity who announced a project, a pretty girl just trying to live her life, the Anon who said something afflictive. When network connections become activated for any reason or no reason, then every connection seems worthy of traversing. That was a terrible idea, he says. As I've written on this subject before, people just aren't meant to talk to one another this much. They shouldn't have that much to say. They shouldn't expect to receive such a large audience for that expression, and they shouldn't suppose a right to comment or rejoinder for every thought or notion either. Now, that's a pretty controversial opinion.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I don't either.
Some people are just gifted orators.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They just have, you just want to listen to them, right? They can make a YouTube video that's an hour and a half long. And if you get, you know, you click play and what if for whatever reason, whatever they're talking about or the way they say it is attractive to you. And you just sit there and you watch it. And like, that's like, and you meet these people in your everyday life too. You could be out at a social event, a concert, a bar, whatever. And like some guy's just carrying on and you're like, well, this guy's got a compelling thing to say. He's talking about something I'm interested in.
Sure.
And so you pay attention to it. Like, I don't think that you can narrow it down the way this author has.
I kind of agree with bits and pieces of what he's saying towards the end, where people aren't really meant to be on social media this much or to post this much. It seems, I don't know, like what did we do before social media, right? Like people would watch movies.
Read a book.
Read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the book is the big thing. And I noticed
join a club.
Yeah, like do real things.
Go out
and
the real world.
Exactly.
Converse
so it
with
seems
actual individuals.
Like some people, all they're doing is whatever they're doing on social media. Instead of learning, growing, communicating in real life.
Yeah,
I'm
kind of with you on this one, Nikki, that I feel like what he's saying here is kind of a mixed bag as far as my agreement. We'll continue with the discussion because it is an interesting viewpoint. Are people saying too much? Is social media encouraging that? Is that unhealthy? This is Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural. You must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, phones open. In the remaining moments here, you want to weigh in on social media. We're getting to the point in this story which he's finally getting to some opinions, right? He's been kind of laying out the history of social media, and he's been opinionated about what is and what is not social media. But now he's talking about, like, what people should be doing, whether or not, you know, their usage is healthy, that kind of thing. With you tonight, it is Ian.
The Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
And Nikki.
And you can join us over at freetalklive.com. You can grab our feeds. We've got RSS feeds for the show. There's the Daily Digest that you can easily access over at feeds.freetalklive.com. Every day, you get the hour-long cut of what our guy Riley Blake says is the best parts of the show. If that's not enough for you, we do have options to where you can listen to the whole show without edits or with the commercials, however you want it. There's different options. Just go to feeds.freetalklive.com and you can link over to all that stuff there. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. But I want to talk about this guy's opinion here where he says people aren't meant to talk to one another this much. They shouldn't have that much to say. They shouldn't expect to receive such a large audience for that expression, and they shouldn't suppose a right to comment or rejoinder for every thought or notion either. So what I have to say about this is I feel like he's kind of right and wrong about this. People obviously have a lot to say,
yes,
right? Like, that's people have opinions about everything, and they have the ability now to express those opinions in a way that they never did before. And that's not a bad thing to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, and it's not new either. People just did it face-to-face before.
Right, and now they can reach more people. But I think that's where the unhealthy part comes in, where, and he touches on this, that they feel like they have a right mm-hmm. to somebody seeing that opinion. And they get upset if they don't get enough likes, or they right, don't get yeah. enough retweets, or they don't get enough spread of that opinion. And then you get people that are kind of hunting for that. Like, ooh, I'm going to have this opinion because it might get me more
yeah.
likes, or it might get me more attention, or I might get more followers. There's just kind of this chase going on where that I feel like there's some unhealthy aspect to it.
Well, because it's being inauthentic. If you're going to share a message, just say what you actually believe
yeah.
and what you want to say. But when you get people who have a certain opinion just because they want more followers mm-hmm. or because they want attention, that is so toxic, because then their followers think that they have... It's just like this endless cycle of people lying and pretend to... I mean, we probably saw it with all the COVID stuff.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who were like, yeah, get your booster, yeah, wear your masks. But in real life, they were like, oh, I'm sick of all this. But they were afraid to say that.
This reminds me, like, I keep drawing parallels between analog things of this nature. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I keep thinking of is like a church, right? So it used to be, before the internet, maybe even before the state, that if you move to a new community or something, or, you know, the digital equivalent would be join a new platform, right?
Yeah.
You move to a new
community.
You
go to the church, you meet people.
You go to the church, you meet people. You're like, hey, I do this kind of a business. They help you out. They mm-hmm. send you leads. Oh, yeah, Bob needs some new whatever it is you're pimping. And, you know, you sort of integrate yourself. But now, do you feel like you have, like, a captive audience now that you're part of the church and, you know, you're chummy with the reverend and you can, like, sort of use that as your platform to advertise your business and service because you're part of this club or whatever, mm-hmm. this platform? Like, I just feel like there's analogies all over the place between, like, a social media platform and a congregation in a church. Mm. Like, it's just, one is the digital equivalent, much larger, obviously, because it's at scale now, but I don't feel like they're very different from each other.
Well, they're not very different, but it's a little unnatural. So when you move somewhere and you go to the church or wherever and you meet people, those are people in your local community.
Mm-hmm.
But on social media, you just have so much of an outreach. Where that aspect of it, especially in marketing standpoint, it's a little unnatural.
Mm. You know? I mean, you are exceeding the Dunbar number in ways, but, like, even within that, you're not exceeding it, like, very much.
Yeah.
There's still, I think that there's an argument to be made that there is sort of an internet Dunbar number, and that is to say, I don't care how many followers you have on whatever platform, you're only going to reach X amount of people, mm-hmm. you know, or in any given period of time, over a week or a day or whatever that is, whatever it is you're trying to pimp or put out there. You're only going to reach a certain amount of people. Certainly, it's a greater number of people that you can potentially reach on social media than by joining a local club or joining a church or something like that. But I just feel like it's technology doing what technology does, making things a little bit bigger. Humankind is the one that has to adjust to the technology. The technology is just going to be the technology. What humans do with it is largely up to us.
From being asked to review every product you buy to believing that every tweet or Instagram image warrants likes or comments or follows, social media produced a positively unhinged sociopathic rendition of human sociality. That's no surprise, I guess, given the model was forged by the fires of big tech companies such as Facebook, where sociopathy is a design philosophy. If Twitter does fail, either because its revenue collapses or because the massive debt that Musk's deal imposes crushes it, the result could help accelerate social media's decline more generally. It would also be tragic for those who have come to rely on these platforms for news or community or conversation or mere compulsion. Such is the hypocrisy of this moment. The rush of likes and shares felt so good because the age of zero comments felt so lonely, and upscaling killed the alternatives a long time ago. Besides, if change is possible, carrying it out will be difficult because we've adapted our lives to conform to social media's pleasures and torments. It's seemingly as hard to give up on social media as it was to give up smoking en masse like Americans did in the 20th century. And you were just talking about that a moment ago, Nikki, and I experienced it as well. When I left Facebook, I would find myself not so much with the app, because like you, I had already, like, 2 years before gotten rid of the app. That was sort of my first step to getting rid of Facebook, sort of weaning myself off of its addictions. But I would go on my laptop, I would find myself subconsciously, unconsciously, just going to the URL area and just starting to type in F-A-C-E.
Yeah.
And I would catch myself doing it, like, oh my God, I'm not even on this website anymore.
It's creepy because you don't even realize you're doing it. It's kind of just like, oh, I'm bored, my brain is bored.
That's what it is.
One second. All it takes is 1 second. Yeah. And it's like it's literally like being addicted to drugs.
Yeah. For a point of reference, if you haven't seen the Black Mirror episode called Nosedive, this is all about social media and its impact on the world today. It is a fantastic episode, and I think it speaks to the subject very well tonight.
He says, quitting the habit took decades, talking about smoking, of regulatory intervention, public relations campaigning, social shaming, and aesthetic shifts. At a cultural level, we didn't stop smoking just because the habit was unpleasant or uncool, or even because it might kill us. We did so slowly and over time by forcing social life to suffocate the practice.
Nobody quit smoking, really. I mean, like, people still smoke.
They just go outside.
Yeah. Like, he's equating passing a law.
Smoking's down.
Absolutely.
Okay, but like, it's still around.
It is.
People haven't quit.
It's
still
a
billion-dollar industry.
Something may yet survive in the fire that would burn it down. Social networks, the services overlooked, molten core. It was never a terrible idea, at least, to use computers to connect one another on occasion for justified reasons and in moderation. The problem came from doing so all the time as a lifestyle, an aspiration, an obsession. The offer was always too good to be true, but it's taken us two decades to realize the Faustian nature of the bargain. Someday, eventually, perhaps its web will unwind, but not soon and not easily. So finally, he says, a year ago, when I first wrote about the downscale, the ambition seemed necessary but impossible. It still feels unlikely, but perhaps newly plausible. That's a victory, if a small one, so long as a withdrawal doesn't drive us back to the addiction. To win the soul of social life, we must learn to muzzle it again across the globe, among billions of people, to speak less to fewer people and less often, and for them to do the same to you and everyone else as well. We cannot make social media good because it is fundamentally bad, deep in its very structure.
No, this is getting weird.
All we can do is hope that it withers away and play our small part in helping abandon.
I make that argument about the state, right?
Absolutely.
You cannot make the state good because it is fundamentally bad.
Yeah.
But social media, that's all about choice.
And that's the thing, like you were mentioning earlier, Captain. It's a tool. It's technology. Do what you will with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not inherently bad. It's not even, you know, it's not a living being. It's just technology. It's just a tool.
That's true.
You can do a lot of positive things on social media.
Yeah.
You can spread a good message. You can learn about things. Or you can fight with people on Facebook.
Right.
And you can
endlessly
watch a bunch of negative stuff and, you know, or mindlessly scrolling. But it can and has the ability to be a very positive thing.
I think that comes to the individual's choices, right?
Like, absolutely.
You can curate your experience to some extent.
Right.
If there's somebody who's triggering you and making you angry in some way or whatever, you can just disconnect from that person. You can block that person. You can
take
use the
personal
tools.
Responsibility
right.
for
exactly.
what you do.
That said, I do disagree with him that people should quiet down or whatever. I don't think that's the solution. But I also do agree that there is a lot of content and a lot of it is unnecessary and that maybe tweeting less often but with higher quality isn't a bad idea.
I like it.
But ultimately, as you guys say, this is all about choice. And what will people choose with the future of social media? We are out of time for tonight, but we're back tomorrow for the live Thanksgiving Day episode, and we'll see you online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. See you then.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. You, the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.